Hi, I'm Ivy. I'm from Taiwan, and I accidentally murdered a gecko.
That's Ivy, who's a master's student at Minerva graduating in 2025. She's also part of this Taipei student life team. This week, we're diving into Ivy's story on humans of Minerva. Welcome to Humans of Minerva, a podcast about the stories of the people at Minerva. I'm your host, Leo, and today I'm sitting down with Ivy, who's part of the master's program at Minerva. Hey, Ivy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. What happened to this poor gecko? Did it had it have it coming for it or?
I used to have those chairs with like wheels on the bottom, and one day I was doing a painting project and then I accidentally rolled over it. The not so great part is that I was using crayons to do the painting project, and then I was using like the gecko color. So everything kind of got like
Wait.
blurred together.
Wait, like there was a gecko crayon color? Or
There's a
like.
like kind of like those like earthy colors. So
Yeah.
I was using that.
And so the gecko became part of the painting as well?
No, so there was a lot of crayon on the floor, but also the poor
Oh.
gecko.
Yeah.
And then this is actually what my sister suggests me to talk about as a random fact, because she was the poor person who has to go clean up, because this is like when I was 4. Yeah. So she was traumatized by this.
Well, yeah, because I is it was just last week where you just like rolled over a gecko.
No, it was what, tw 20 years ago?
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you play, were you around like a bunch of nature and other geckos when you grew up and
No, I was actually, I guess I was pretty a lonely kid growing like the first few years of my life because I was usually super sick. So I didn't go to kindergarten as much. And I don't have any similar age relatives in my family because my mom had me when she was like 45-ish. And she's also like the younger end of her family. So most of my cousin is like, I think the closest cousin I have is 12 years older than me. So I don't
wow.
really grew up with a group of other people just in general. So yeah, I do a lot of reading, painting, playing with dolls and all that.
And your sisters, are they close to you as well, or?
They're really close to me, but at least right now, but our age difference is pretty big. One of my sisters is 17 years older than me, and the other one is 15 years older than me. So technically, I have three moms.
Yeah, wow. No, I couldn't believe like if my mother had another baby right now. I mean, it'd be so cute, but yeah, it'd be
Yeah,
completely
also, you have
different.
a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Kaohsiung in Taiwan.
Kaohsiung, yes, which is the southern part of Taiwan.
How do you feel about having grown up? What's also was it in a more central part of the city or sort of more naturey?
I grew up mostly in the city part. So there's this river in Kaohsiung, and basically, I kind of grew up along the river, and my elementary school is a little bit inland. And then, like, throughout middle school and high school, I just got closer to the sea.
Cool. Did you enjoy growing up there? Is there like any part of Kaohsiung that you really appreciate now that you've like had the perspective of having traveled to other places?
Yeah, I think really along that river, it has been like a really important part for me. Kind of just seeing how Kaohsiung even developed throughout the times I was there, I really feel like Kaohsiung is more of a place of you talk with a lot of people, even like in traditional markets, you talk to people, and I think it's the people that make it special for me. It's not specifically the place per se, but say for example, there's a noodle shop that I always talk about. I talk about Kaohsiung. I go there since grade one till now. Like, they still remember all my orders and like greet me when
Wow.
I go there. Yeah, my sister also refers it as like, oh, you're like the princess coming back to the village or something like that. Yeah, so it's really the people along that river, along like in the city, everywhere, that makes it special for me. But yeah, Kaohsiung is a great place to grow up in.
Yeah. Wow. Now you're in Taipei and you've sort of gone to live there for a while. Do you think there's like a difference in the people from the cities and like the way that people just interact generally?
Generally, I feel like, well, one, people in Taipei walk way faster than what you would do in Kaohsiung. I'm a fast walker myself, so people always like, oh, you're like from Taipei now. I'm like, well, but I do feel like there's generally more people and like faster pace of life in Taipei compared to Kaohsiung. And I feel like Kaohsiung is really a sea city. So like even the food you eat, the temperature, the weather, it feels different. Although there's still a lot of similarities in terms of like people greet you and like the kind people you can find everywhere, but you feel the difference still.
Wow. Yeah. And so I'm curious, like, while you were growing up in Kaohsiung, what were you like as a high school student and like as a teenager? What are the kinds of things that you used to do?
I went to an all-girls high school, which my dad doesn't like. I was also in this program that is focused on humanities and social science. So a lot of the things we talk about, it could be controversial. You can say we are critical thinkers. And I guess I was just talking with someone else today about this, but I kind of find my way in this system to do what I want without breaking the rules too much. For example, my mom, when I was trying to go into the humanities and social science program, she was like, if you want to do that test, you have to do the foreign language program test as well. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. But what I did is that, my mom probably shouldn't have heard this, but basically there was 3 pages of the tests. And then I only did the first 2 pages of it. And I just guessed all the things in the third one so I can get into the program I actually want. So that was me as an entry point of high school.
I mean, you made it in, right?
Yeah, as a quote-unquote rebellion high school student. But once I get in, I think I'm still on the like more rule-obeying side. Because we still have these kind of, this is a really weird thing in Taiwan, but we still have military personnel in our high school, when I was in high school, I should say, that help us keep the campus safe and whatnot. But they're still from the military, so they're really strict on rules and whatnot. Sometimes if we accidentally broke the rule, like say we're late for lunch break, they'll basically yell at us, while a lot of my classmates will be like, why are they doing that, and like actively fight back. I was just like, all right, sorry, won't do it again, and then I left. So I kind of find my way in the like rules system to survive almost and do kind of what I hope I can do.
You were the one who wanted to go to this humanities girls high school, right?
Yeah, so our high school is not humanities, social science focused per se, but at the time there was a like experimental program, basically a magnet program from the college end to kind of attract students who are interested in these areas to get to know more. So we got to take classes with college professors, we got to do a research thesis, all that cool stuff. Now I think it's really interesting that I got to do that.
Yeah, what kind of research did you do?
My group did a thesis on the Grimm's fairy tale and the adaptation of them in modern films, specifically focused on female roles and how they were structured, how they view.
That's so cool.
It was really interesting project.
Wow. What about outside of school? What else were you up to in your free time?
I was in this very interesting club called, it has a very long name. It's called Advanced Joint Entrepreneurship Telecommunication Club. It was the weirdest club you can ever think of. But basically what we do is we do a lot of volunteer work. And we also learn how to teach Chinese, Mandarin Chinese to foreign students. So a lot of my time besides doing thesis, doing all these really interesting classes, my time was majority spent on these volunteer programs and teaching programs.
Well, and is that also how you learned English?
I learned English a little bit early on. So in Taiwan, the English classes officially start around third grade. And what my mom did is that she doesn't know how to teach English to me. So what she did is she basically threw a lot of English CD at me when I was younger. So she's just like, let me listen to all the like English recording from Melissa's United States accent. So I remember the first time I met one of the Minervans, the first thing she noticed, like, oh my God, you have such strong like California accent. I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't notice that, but I kind of see where that comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of my English learning is like hearing and trying to say it. So like my writing and my reading is not as strong as my speaking and listening when I was in high school specifically.
So then I guess moving forwards, after high school, you went to university?
Yes. So basically through that river, I kind of get closer to the sea. And now I'm like across the ocean. I went to a liberal arts historical women's college in Oakland area. So also in the Bay.
I had no idea about this.
Welcome to a new field of knowledge.
Wow. What's it called?
Someone from my school, it's called Mills College. We actually have a professor. I think she taught in computational science department at Minerva for a little bit. Yeah. So some people were actually on my campus visiting her while I'm studying there.
Wow. And did you know about Minerva then as well?
So I actually thought about applying to Minerva as an undergrad. And there was a huge news about someone who got accepted into Minerva, but not NTU, basically the most prestigious university in Taiwan. So there was a lot of debate on like what kind of talent is our college system looking into and what is the world looking into. So that's how I get to know about Minerva. And I basically was like, oh, this is a cool idea. And I noticed there's no application fee. So I filled the basic information part. But right after that, I got into a college I wanted to get into in Taiwan and also a few of this university in the States that I wanted to get into. So I never finished my Minerva application.
Yeah. But talk to me about the decision to go to college in the US, because I feel like that's got to be a little bit daunting. And did you want to, you know, sort of leave Taiwan and explore other places, or how did that decision happen?
Yeah, I think it was partially, I didn't want to go to the States specifically, but both of my sister also went to women's college in the States as well. So that's kind of like an interesting trajectory that I didn't intend to follow. But when I was applying for college in Taiwan, because Taiwanese system kind of makes you choose a major upon your entry in college, and it's really hard to change that. So my sisters were like, oh, do you know what you want to get into? I kind of know, but I don't have the clearest idea ever. So they were like, oh, why don't you apply to like a few liberal arts college in the States to try it out? So I did. And that was kind of like the determining factor of like, oh, I wanted to explore something different before I actually dive into the field I think I'm interested in right away. And it turns out to be a right choice. And also just getting to know the world before I get stuck in Taiwan. That was the initial thinking there.
Wait, what do you mean stuck in Taiwan?
I kind of mean that at the time, I really feel like if I go to the university in Taiwan, I will kind of be more restricted in what the Taiwanese education system can offer me. And it's not Taiwan itself, it's not interesting to me, but it's more of a, I want to see more. I know Taiwan is great, but also what else? So kind of just like that what else thought is one of the important factors, I think, to get to see what's going on in the other side of the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, what did you think? I guess your sisters had gone before, so you had some expectations. And was there an
Yeah.
adjustment period? And
I think my first culture, well, not probably, this is not even culture shock. It's just a shock that I got to see a 9 p.m. sunset in the Bay Area. So I was just like, wait, what time is it right now? And then I was like, oh, it's probably 6 because the sun is just going down. And then I checked the clock, it was like 9. And I was like, hold on. So even just knowing that your surrounding changed so differently, like even after 10 hours of flight. It's probably a little bit over 10 hours, but close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you study at Mills College?
My major is in child development and economics, and I
Wow.
minored in dance as well.
And minored in dance.
Yes.
Wait, child development and economics and dance. That's
Yes.
such a cool combination. I love that.
So I basically am around the campus because we have the business school, we have the natural science school, we have education building, we have the dance art building, and everyone is like, why am I seeing you everywhere? Like, yes, I'm like, because I am everywhere. And I also work in the library, so
Oh,
that kind of puts the
yeah.
whole circle.
Was that part of the you couldn't fully decide what you wanted to go into, so you kind of like, let's do it all.
I think it is a weird combo to look at. Like initially, I also thought it was a weird combo, but the more I look into it, well, first of all, there's a overlap between child development and economics that I really love is that you get to know how people grow into the people they are now and how they make decisions and how they live their life based on the constraint and the resources they have. And there's this like, don't get me started on this too much, but there's this model in child development called Bronfenbrenner's. You kind of view an individual in the system that they're in. So, like, you look at the big historical time period, you look at their country, you look at their culture, and you look at the closer system. You look at the children's family, schools, whatnot, and you look more closely around the immediate people around that, and then you look at individual and all that interests. And I do really feel like economics brings me that holistic perspective of what the whole society is like, how are people shaped in those system, and then looking at the individual side, I got to see a lot of like, okay, this is how this society is also formed. That actually is a whole circle for me. And dance is kind of like the combination of creating, understanding human beings, that interpersonal connection, like being a language itself. So my child development thesis I did for college is actually on dance training's impact on people's self-esteem and self-awareness. That was a really close topic to my heart, and I kind of make that combination there. And then for my economics thesis, I did a project on school lunches. So there's kind of that overlapping as well, which is study three, but it actually gives me a more overall perspective of who you are as human beings in general. So yeah, that's a very long answer.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. I think I feel very similarly because I couldn't. It's like I kind of want to study all of it. And it's useful to study all the different things, even though they're different, because they very much complement each other. Because then you see one from the perspective of the other, and then you find a third insight that's like that you would never have gotten otherwise.
Exactly. I really love that.
Well, you said dance and the effect that it has on self-esteem as children growing up was is something that's near and dear to you. Did you also do a lot of dance as a child?
I was actually first sent to dance because, well, my mother did dance when she was younger, when she was a kid. She loved it. I have like really bad asthma and allergies as a kid. And we tried everything like Chinese medicine, Western medicine, inhaler, and all that. Didn't really work as much. And then finally, the doctor kind of gave up and say like, you know what? Just send this kid to like exercise more. It probably will help. So my mom was like, okay, what is the exercise that this little person actually likes? And she thought of dance. So that's how I got sent into dance since 6, I think, 5 or 6. And then I just been doing it on and off throughout my life now. And I think that's actually one thing that I hold on to for my entire life until this point. A lot of things goes in and out, but dance is something that I hold on for since I was introduced to it.
Wow. And so like, what does it mean to you now to be able to dance?
I kind of feel like it's a way to connect my mind and body. And having that body mobility in a way, not in a like physical mobility way, but like having the mobility to use my body to express how I'm feeling, what I'm receiving, is really helpful for me. And on a more interpersonal level, I do feel like it provides me a way of building my own identity through what other might see. So I guess one thing interesting I do, which probably a lot of dancers or people who practice dance will find odd, is that I really look at the mirror when I dance somehow. And there's a whole bunch of research on whether you should look at mirrors when you are dancing. But I think kind of just like connecting how I know my body will be viewed and how I will be viewed from other people's perspective almost is a metaphor of how I navigate interpersonal relationship as well. But I think dance is really that mind, body, story, interpersonal connection all blend together.
That's so cool. I'd love to know more about like this view about seeing yourself through how other people see you as well. Do you know where this view came from? And I just love to know more about like this way of seeing yourself.
I think about this time to times. I feel like a part of it is the lack of other people's viewpoint to me when I was younger. And so I kind of seek that to begin with. And there was a question that was like, oh, if there were a museum without you, what would it be? I kind of feel like for me, it will be a lot of how others look at me, like notes, cards from other people, pictures that other people take. Because I do feel like my identity is built a lot in that interpersonal interaction. And at one point, it wasn't really healthy. I can only see myself through other people's lens. And to the point, I can see myself through other people's lens.
Yeah. So then, like, when you think about, like, right now, if I asked you, Ivy, who are you? Is your answer, I am a dancer and I am a graduate student? Or is it like, I am how Leo is seeing me? Is that, I don't know.
Maybe not as philosophical as that. I guess the who are you question is like the biggest question you can ever answer.
Yeah.
But I think the starting point will really be, I am this person to this person, kind of like, I am my mother's daughter. I'm my sister's sister. I am Minerva's student life team member. Mm-hmm. I am Professor Geneva's science student. Like something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So in a sense, that's like the sort of identity roles that you have in larger society.
That's kind of how I think of it.
Okay.
Cool.
So, moving more towards the present. So right now you have two official involvements with Minerva. One, you are the residential manager.
A residential life manager.
Residential life for the Taipei student life team. So right now you're also living in the Taipei dorms and you interact with a lot of the students on a daily basis. How did you, and we covered this in the other episode, so we can go over it more quickly, but like, how do you think it's shaped you as a person?
Oh, that's an interesting question. In some way, when, say, for example, when I'm explaining my rule to my friends from, say, high school, they were like, oh my God, I couldn't think of a better rule for you.
Really?
Because I was really like the mom friend growing up, mm-hmm. like in all my friend group. And they're like, oh my God, you're basically like being the mom friend for like 100 however much people. So yeah, so I guess it shaped me in a way of like, I get to see more people and really think about what human interactions, relationship, and really just interaction, encounterments is in life for me more broadly. So I learned a lot, and I think it will shape me along my professional careers a lot, but also just that constant seeing people, building relationship with people, getting to know people on a more personal level, and like seeing all the amazing things that people do in their lives, but also saying goodbye to people time to time is really interesting for me personally.
So then, okay, what about this graduate program? Did you always know that you wanted to be a part of it?
I think in my first encounterment with the grad program, I kind of feel like this is a like distant relative of Minerva. Kind of this like, you kind of take a part of Minerva and then you almost diluted it. That was my first impression. And then it was the second semester I was at Minerva, I met with Professor Stein, who visited Taiwan that semester. And her point of view of what the graduate program is kind of make me become more curious about this whole program. And I guess my initial instinct is that I am very curious about the HCs, like the education model in general of like how Minerva is teaching people. And I was really interested in education to begin with. So like, I kind of view Minerva as this like living experiment, which it kind of is still. But the grad program is, I think of it now as more of a skill-based training for Minerva education system. So I think my experience listening to what the undergrad is doing is a lot of like content knowledge and using those content knowledge to learn the critical transferable skills behind that and kind of just like utilize that. And my observation over this three semester is that Minervans, even though people sometimes was like, oh my God, HC is like, I don't want to do HC appendix again. Like, I don't want to talk about HCs. Like, please stop talking about HCs to me. But it's really integrated in how people think, or like, I don't even think it's Minerva actively teaching this almost. Like, what I think about is they kind of bring that potential out of Minervans. And I kind of feel like the graduate program is doing that as well, although we're not doing it based on just content knowledge, because a lot of graduate students are actually working professionals. So a lot of what we study comes from people's experience. Like, for example, we're doing hashtag analogy, and then we actually have a brain surgeon in the classroom. And usually what the professor used to talk about this like analogy concept is like you have a castle in the middle and like how do you attack it, and that's kind of analogy of how brain surgeons treat tumors. So like she designed this whole activity about going through that analysis for the castle case and then kind of doing a break and then ask people to think about the brain surgeon situation. So she kind of has to like specifically ask the students to like not give out the answer to this to begin with, and then have him explain it at the end and then use that to explain what analogy is. So like it's like skill based and like real life based rather than okay, this is what we learned, and more in a systematic way.
That's fascinating that like you have brain surgeons and like professionals, and I feel like even the experiences that and the stories that you could bring to the class with everything that you've already gone through makes like the HC is so much more valuable because I think we as the undergrads have a lot less like real world experiences. So we can learn these concepts, but we don't have as much like data points to sort of apply them to. And like, yeah, that's a completely different experience too.
Yeah, I guess I kind of want to challenge what you just said almost. I think what is interesting is that undergrad, you have a lot of structure opportunities to test those out. But I guess what is interesting to me about Minerva's approach to education of like these transferable skills is that Minerva provides a structured environment for you to practice it. And this is usually what people will learn after like, say, 10, 20 years of experience. So like as undergrad, you don't have just data points. You're starting from the skills and then you enter the data. And it's kind of like you have a model and then you put in the data to see whether it fits. And then for the grad program is that you have the data point. Now you just need someone to point it out, say like, this is a model.
Right.
Think of it. Like that's kind of how I see this point, building models.
I think I kind of bad at analogies. I don't know if that's even...
Maybe we should get a 3 and a 4 on our analogy.
Oh, I really need it. I would really appreciate that. Or maybe it's a 2.
I have no idea. I don't know. It could be a 1. It could be a 5. It could be a unicorn. Yeah.
So I guess at this point in time, are you happy with this decision to be in the grad program? And I guess looking forwards as well, how do you think it's changing your outlook on the future possibilities for what you might do?
I guess there's kind of two parts to this question. To answer the first part, whether I'm happy, I say I am. A lot of our classmates, I feel like the cohort I'm in the grad program, everyone is really curious and really willing to try to begin with. So I really enjoy that space of like, even though I might know what I said could be wrong, we are all on the same page of like, it's okay to be wrong. And I do feel like if we're practicing all these skills, we kind of need some place that is intentionally structured for you to not be afraid of failing it. And then you can apply it successfully in the future. So I really enjoy this learning atmosphere that I would also say it's kind of familiar to me. Since I was in a very small college, I got to do that a lot to begin with. And I do treasure that and I do miss that. And this program kind of gives me like that same, not safe space only, but brave space. So like you feel safe about stepping out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. Wow. No, I think that's so important to learning. It's like the ability to be able to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Indeed.
And I feel like this program's give me a lot of security to do that. Yeah.
Wow.
But to the second part of the question of what do I see this change my outlook of what I can do in the future? I feel like that interdisciplinary nature of the program and the courses, I kind of feel more comfortable of like, what I thought I want to do to begin with. I want to still work with people. I still want to work in some sort of education spaces. And through the program, I kind of understand that learning can happen anywhere. And like, if I can find something that I want to work with and I really believe in, it doesn't really matter which field I'm specifically in. And those skills really give me an ability to adapt in various situations. I guess I can't comfortably say what I will do after graduation right now, but I feel like what I will do later on, it doesn't really matter what I do. It's more of a matter of how I do it. Because I think a lot of us expect us to go into one specific field and like, oh, I'm interested in say, linguistic. But what you might actually be interested in is how people express yourself. And if you can't go into linguistics, what else can you do? maybe marketing is a place to go. Like, you don't have to restrict yourself in the specific field anymore.
Do you have a sense of what those sort of like key values, I don't know, ideas are for you?
Kind of going back to that brave space idea, I hope where I can be in the future is where people can feel vulnerable, but also feel loved in a way. So for now, the best place I feel like I can be is still in education. But if there's any other field that I discover later on that allows me to do the same, I think I will happily be curious about it.
Wow. I like that. Yeah. Okay. We'll move on to the fast fire round of questions.
Sure. I'm terrible at fast fire because I'm really I'm really indecisive.
Well, okay.
Let's try.
Let's try. Do you have some favorite foods from Taiwan or other places?
One thing I really miss when I was abroad is good noodle soup. I'm really picky about the broth itself, so I guess that could be one.
Okay. What are some of your favorite songs?
Currently, one song that was on my playlist is called Gu Wei, basically like a song of the film. That song is really calming, but it's in like all Taiwanese as well. So that kind of like, well, there's a few singers and a few songs that it's like on loop in my playlist now, and most of them are Taiwanese.
What's one thing that you would tell all Minerva students going to Taipei?
Be safe. Be safe in general. Yeah. Enjoy the imperfection, the perfect imperfection.
You have a couple of free hours on like a Sunday afternoon. Nothing to do. What are you going to do?
These days is probably trying out the dance studio I'm actually looking into, because the good classes are on Sunday afternoon.
Very close.
Very specific.
Would you rather live in nature or the city? Or closer to nature or in the city?
Right now, city.
Okay. Yeah. And last question, a word for this conversation.
Reflective.
Yeah. I feel like there's so many ideas that you brought up like throughout this set.
I think too much.
No, it's amazing. Sort of distill things that I feel like I've also been thinking about. And that's just been amazing to hear them in a lot more crystallized form. So I want to really thank you for that.
Thank you for having me here. Yeah, I do feel like sometimes you need a conversation to get those things out.
Yeah.
And thank you. I guess just a last note, I really appreciate how you were asking all these questions. So thank you.
Thank you. This is lovely.
Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and automatically get notified about new episodes on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at humansofminerva.podcast for the latest updates and announcements. Finally, special thanks to Lilianne for working her magic on this episode. Thanks for listening to Humans of Minerva.